chapter 16, Jesus told Peter and the disciples, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm sitting across our brand new table from my wife, Debbie, and we had a makeshift table for a long time in the studio, and now we got a real, we're like...
The Jeffersons, we are moving on up.
We have a real table, and it's really nice. And so we want to welcome you to the program, and Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff.
And so Debbie comes on about once every 10 days or so, maybe once every 2 weeks.
This has been normally it would be like about once a week, but this August has been just a crazy, crazy month with our offices moving, I got COVID, our daughter moved. It's just been really busy.
So it's just an ongoing joke in our family that people always comment. They'll say something nice about me or the radio program, and then they always throw Debbie in and say, "And I really like it when Debbie's on." Mm-hmm. And when we spoke with Family Life Ministries, they would do evaluations, and they would write, "Really liked Jeff's presentation, and his wife was so great."
Oh dear!
And so we're always excited when Debbie comes on, because she adds so much to the program.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
No?
No, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know about that.
The listeners,
but I'm here. That's what I do know.
The listeners have spoken. So when Jesus said that in Matthew 16, you know, it's the very famous passage of Scripture where, you know, the Lord asks the guys, he takes them to Caesarea Philippi, and we're going to Israel in October. And Caesarea Philippi is one of my favorite places to go. It's just, it hasn't been tainted with building buildings there. It's still just kind of in the natural as to what it looked like when Jesus was there. Some of those other places, like, this didn't look like that. Bethlehem, I never want to even go there because it's like, this is nothing like what it was. But Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered and said, "So, well, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then he said to them, "Yeah, but who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, and you're the Son of the living God." That is huge, because in the mind of a Jew, if you said that Jesus was the Son of God, that was akin to saying you are God. And that's why they crucified him. It says in John chapter 19, when Pilate wanted to let him go, and they said, "You can't let him go. We have a law, and by that law he deserves to die because he said he's the Son of God. You're claiming deity." And Jesus answered and said to Simon, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, little rock, and upon this rock," Petra, big rock, so it's a different word, Petros, Peter, little rock, "upon this rock, Petra, big rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it." Now notice this, Jesus didn't say, "I will build your church," and he didn't say, "You will build my church." He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it." And so he is in the business of building his church. And Debbie, we have been seeing even lately at First Baptist Texarkana that God is really at work in our midst.
Yes.
And there's a great excitement in the air. And just on the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's been very, very powerful.
Incredible. You know, I was thinking back to the early part of that verse that you read, Jeff, about where Jesus was asking, you know, "Who do people say that I am?" And we still have that today. We still have that today where people want to make Jesus something that he's not, you know, and I just find that interesting, that how our times have changed. Yes, our culture is completely different, but the core sin issues, they kind of remain the same generation after generation after generation.
Right.
And it's very interesting. And what I have noticed, particularly in our church, is that when we sing about, talk about, speak the name of Jesus and about the blood of Jesus, there is just power that comes with that in terms of just our worship, and it just elevating it almost to a new level, and it is just cool to see how we can walk onto our campus, and this has been really significant, like you said, in the last 3 to 4 weeks, and you sense the excitement. Mm-hmm. And you sense God's presence there. You sense that He is about doing the work that only He can do, drawing people to repentance, refreshing people, restoring relationships, bringing healing, and all of those things that truly only He can do. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday that we just feel that we're just on the precipice to seeing incredible things happen in our midst, and that's exciting.
Very exciting. We had a guy that last Sunday, he came forward at the end of the service. He's probably, 65, 70, something like that. He came forward and told me that he had prayed to receive Christ at the end of the service. And so I thought he was already a believer because I'd been seeing him, that he'd been coming to everything. And then I looked over at his wife and she said, "I have been praying for this." And so then I knew, okay, this is brand new. Mm-hmm. Well, he came to the membership class a week ago Sunday night and, you know, said, "I want to join the church. I need to get baptized." He got baptized this Sunday, yesterday. And it's just exciting to see. You know, when the Lord is doing that in people's lives that are older, because it's hard for an older person, and I mean, this guy's not, you know, 99, but he's a senior adult. Mm-hmm. And when you see him doing that in a senior adult's heart and life, and you see older people getting baptized, you know that the Lord is at work, because that's not something that they would just jump on the bandwagon to do.
Well, and we had another lady the week before that has been a believer, so it wasn't that she had just received salvation, but she realized after you had preached on baptism that her baptism was out of order, that she had gotten baptized prior to her salvation experience. And so I don't know how old she was, but again, a senior adult, yeah, Diane, she got baptized 2 Sundays ago.
Yeah, we won't say her last name, but she's 77 years old.
77, okay.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
and
huge.
So it's just a great praise. Mm-hmm. And so it's just people saying, "Hey, I want to be obedient. I want to follow the Lord." And it's the Lord doing exactly what He says. "Upon this rock, I will build my church." And so, you know, regardless of the size of the church, so for many people, First Baptist Texarkana seems like a large church. If you go to a city like Dallas, I mean, Prestonwood has more in a Bible study class than we have in the whole church. That might be pushing it, but
that might be a slight exaggeration.
Jack Graham was on the program some months ago, and he said that they have 56,000 members. Well, in the whole Twin Cities of Texarkana, we have about 70,000 people. So
right.
We had a couple that visited yesterday from Kansas, mm-hmm. and they were saying that to us. They said, "You have more people in this room for worship than we have in our whole town." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's all relative, but I know that the Lord is doing great work at our friend Bobby Fisher, pastor at Kern Heights Baptist Church in Dequeen, Arkansas. Dequeen is not a big place, but he sees God at work. And so regardless of the size of the church, that's what we want to see. Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." And so I've always said that if you want to see God bless your life, bless your family, bless your church, you got to get your life, your family, your church on blessing ground.
Right.
He's not going to bless you if you're at the pigsty, because the blessings don't flow there. You know, I remember as a kid one time, it was raining at my house, but it was raining in the front yard. It wasn't raining in the backyard, which was...
Oh, how weird.
It was very weird. But it was like, hey, if you want to experience the refreshing rain, you had to go to the front yard because it wasn't falling in the backyard. And so you have to go where, as Henry Blackaby says, you find where God is working and you join Him. Mm-hmm. And you don't ask God to say, "Well, God, I want to go over here. Why don't you join me?" It's not about that. It's about joining Him. And when God is at work, it is exciting.
Yes, very exciting. In fact, it was interesting. Last night we had a Lord's Supper service in our PM service, which we don't normally have a PM service. And so that's always kind of a special time anyway. But we celebrated the Lord's Supper last night. And when the entire service was over, we had actually gotten rain last night, which was such an answer to prayer, because I don't know where all our listeners are, but in Texas, we have been parched. Our ground has been parched. We've been dealing with triple-digit temperatures for weeks now, and so it was such a blessing and such an answer to prayer to have gotten some of that rain. But when we left the service last night, we had multiple people sending us text messages, posting on Facebook that there was this ginormous rainbow that just like almost ended inside our church building. And it's just neat to see, you know, the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, just the fact that he is always true to his word, that he guards his word, that there's always going to be a remnant. He is always going to protect that remnant. And just to know that, hey, listen, he is working, he is moving. And so often in our lives, we get bogged down in our circumstances and our negative emotions and our feelings, and we can feel that God isn't aware, he's not there, he's not seeing, he's not moving, he's not working. And it's just great to have that reminder that, oh, yes, I am. I'm always here. I never leave you. I never forsake you. I'm always at work in your life, behind the scenes, in, you know, on the big stage. I'm always working.
Amen. I think too that in today's world, you're going to be the gap between the churches that really stand and the Christians who really stand for the Word of God and the testimony found in Scripture, and those that are trying to make friends with the world and fit in with the world and be squeezed into the mold of the world. That's going to keep widening.
Right.
And so do you believe the Bible or you don't? Do you follow Jesus or do you create another Jesus whom we have not preached, and you follow this cultural climate change mask wearing Jesus? You know, there's this crazy stuff because you want to fit in with the world. I was listening to a sermon on Saturday, and it was from John MacArthur, and he said, you know, I don't understand why we keep trying to court the world. He said, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. We're just supposed to follow the Lord. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. We're not supposed to poke the world in the eye, so to speak. We're not to be obnoxious to the world. But our goal is not to get the world to love us, because they're not going to love us. If they nail Jesus to a tree and he's love incarnate, what are they going to do to us? And so this idea, you know, the Andy Stanley deep and wide, oh, if we just had a ministry like Jesus, we'd reach all these people. It's like you haven't read the rest of the gospel. You know, what did they say? Not this man, but Barabbas. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Crucify him, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. That was a religious crowd that said that. And so we just need to be faithful to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. We have to deal with sin in our own lives as believers, especially as those that are leading in the church. And so that we're genuine. No one is expecting perfection, because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, we're not perfect, but we can be genuine.
Well, and I think there's the idea that, oh, you know, we can just walk by faith, that just happens. Once we receive Christ, that's just a natural outflowing. And to some extent, that's true. But to walk in faith and to be in line with the Lord in his will and his purposes for our lives, that takes intentionality. And that takes discipline. And sometimes that can be really exhausting. Discipline can be exhausting, but it is always pays in spades, right, to have a disciplined walk with the Lord.
Well, and you know, when and if you fall, not the if, but when you fall, when you fail, we have the Holy Spirit living inside. I preached yesterday from Romans 8, and the Spirit helps our weakness. He helps our moral frailty. He helps us. That's what Jesus called him, the helper, the paraclete, the one called alongside to render aid. And so we can work together with him to put to death the deeds of the body, so that we can live, so that we can shine, so that we can share. Were you listening to Real Truth for today? I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, joined by my wife, Debbie, and we will be right back after the break. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about God at work. I'm joined in the studio by my wife, Debbie. And Jesus said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. He told the disciples that upon this rock, I will build my church. And God is working in the lives of his children, and he's working in his church. And so we just had a membership class a week ago Sunday, and we told people you need to be connected and involved and participating in the life of the local church. Why? Because the Lord says, I will build my church. And so there are no Lone Ranger Christians out there in the kingdom of God. We all need one another, and we're encouraged by one another. And the church ought to be a place where the Christians come together, and it is an exciting place as we worship the Lord, and as we hear from his word, as we sing his praises, as we meet with other believers, and we're encouraged by the witness of other believers. Debbie, I got this email yesterday after the service Sunday morning from a young man who travels about an hour and 15 minutes or so every Sunday to come and be with us. He said, I just wanted to thank you for all you do in the church. May the Lord's blessings be with you and your family. I was trying to hold back a lot of tears this morning in the service. I'm so blessed to have this church in my life. It is a drive, but I can't imagine being anywhere else because my heart and soul find restoration there each Sunday, and my heart is just screaming within me, desiring nothing more than to serve Jesus. I owe him every breath, every last cell in my body. I just want to serve his goodwill and shake people free to know him, shake them alive, and awake them to Christ, and to be the man the Lord called me out to be when I was only 23 years old. So thank you. I mean it. And I send this to lift you up. Yeah, it's just it's exciting to hear that and to know that people are traveling a long way, and people will come a long way if they know that, hey, I can meet God in this place. And whether you are pastoring a church of 15 people or 1,500 people, it doesn't matter. You want to have an encounter with God. As the Lord says, we're two or more gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. Now, Debbie, you and I saw Saturday, we saw a movie about a pastor who had a very small church.
Yes.
And the true story of Ricky Hill,
yes.
R-I-C-K-E-Y. It's, the movie's called The Hill with mm-hmm. Dennis Quaid. Excellent, excellent movie.
Very good.
His growing up years in outside of the Fort Worth area, his dad pastored at, I think it was First Baptist Bowie, Texas.
Yes, not to be confused with Bowie County.
Not Bowie,
Bowie
County.
Texas.
Bowie, Texas, population, 10 people and a goat. I mean, it was
right.
It was small. And
yes.
The church was very dilapidated, and the parsonage was awful. And
it was bad.
He's got a wife, a mother-in-law, and three kids. And but man, what a great, great story. Mm-hmm. And true that they brought it to the screen, that really, really true, all the things that they brought out, but about the baseball player who overcame so much, Ricky Hill.
Right, overcame physical and overcame, you know, just emotional stuff. And I just absolutely loved it. Now, I am not a sports enthusiast by any stretch of the imagination, and particularly I find not interesting to watch baseball and golf. Those two things, I just neither one do I find interesting to watch. But it was just such a story of overcoming physical difficulty, of overcoming emotional difficulty, and just persevering. And it was challenging also to just see how the family dynamics played such a role in his life. And it was just a really, really cool, heartwarming, encouraging. You left the theater feeling very encouraged,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of what he was able to do. And it talked about throughout the course of the movie about how God had just placed within him not only the desire to play baseball, but the skill and the ability to play baseball, and how his dad saw that as something separate from his walk with the Lord, mm-hmm. and his spiritual and his devotion to Christ, and Ricky himself did not see it that way. He saw it all as one thing, right. Whereas, hey, what God has gifted me to do, that is how I bring him honor. That's how I bring him glory. That's how I fulfill the mission that he's placed me on this earth to fulfill. And so I thought that was a really cool part of the message of the movie as well.
Well, we had John Lennox on the program, Dr. John Lennox, last Friday, and tremendous. He's just written a new book about work, wealth, and wisdom. And, you know, I had mentioned to him, I said, because he had people saying, why don't you go into the full-time ministry? You're so gifted at, you know, speaking and apologetics and things like that. And he had much more opportunity to make an impact for Christ as a mathematics professor at Oxford than he did if he had left that to go into the pastorate. And so, yeah, he encourages people, says, hey, bloom where you're planted. And if God has given you a gift and he's given you an opportunity, use that platform and don't reject it and say, well, I need to go become a pastor or a missionary or whatever. Let that be your mission field and use that. And he said, you know, I've had much more opportunity as a mathematics professor to shine for Christ than if I had left that to pursue something else. So the Ricky Hill story, yeah, he saw those together.
Mm-hmm.
God's given me a passion for baseball, and that's a platform to share with people about Jesus. I thought about Chariots of Fire.
Yes.
The Scotsman, Eric Little, and he said that he had this this statement. He said, God made me, and he made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so Ricky Hill was basically saying the same thing. God made me to hit a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hit a baseball, I hit it for the glory of God. And I know it's his strength working in me. And so, yeah, I encourage all the listeners, and it's a great movie to take your kids, your grandkids to.
Right.
I mean, it sucks you in from...
from the start,
yeah,
right from the get-go.
And man, I was wiping away tears, and I was laughing at the
funny
parts.
You were very moved. Yeah, you had multiple kind of emotional moments in it. And the casting was really fabulous. So all the, whoever was the casting director, boy, they just picked the perfect people to play the parts, because it was, you definitely instantly kind of got caught up in the story.
Uh-huh.
And we're kind of waiting with anticipation as to what was going to take place.
Well, I've reached out to Ricky Hill. I'm that kind of guy. Once
yes.
I get excited about a true story and I go look it up, how much of this stuff is true and how can I contact this guy? And hopefully I'll get to have him on the program. I'd love to interview Ricky Hill.
Can I just interject here? After the movie, we went to lunch, okay? We went to Texas Roadhouse, which is an incredibly crazy busy place. Even at 3 in the afternoon, it was packed. But as we're sitting at the table, even though you did not have a contact in and you didn't have your glasses, he was just struggling to read about how much the actual story lined up with the movie. So we spent the bulk of that lunchtime continuing to talk about the movie and for you to kind of research. And by the end of it, you said, well, I just contacted him. We'll just see what happens with that. So yes, you're very tenacious when it comes to those kind of things.
Okay, so God building his church, the Lord, upon this rock, I will build my church. So what do you do if you are the pastor of a church and you're not seeing much happen, or you're a member of a church and you're not seeing much happen? I was thinking, Debbie, as we were talking off air about Elijah, and once he had the showdown on Mount Carmel with
the prophets
of Baal,
huge high,
yeah, and he kills all the prophets of Baal, and you know, the Lord showed, the Lord he is God, the Lord he is God. Then it says this: now Elijah said to King Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. Now remember, it hadn't rained in 3 years and 6 months. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And that's, he's assuming a humble position of prayer. And he looked to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go back 7 times. And it came about at the 7th time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. So it came about in a little while that the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. We pray, and when we don't see anything, we keep praying, and when we don't see anything, we keep praying, and when we see something small, the cloud the size of a man's fist, we say, that's it. And the Lord is going to answer. God is faithful to his promises. It's impossible for God to lie. In the book Good to Great by Jim Collins, he talks about companies that go from good to great. It's a tremendous book. But one of the chapters is called The Flywheel Principle. And it just says you do the right things over and over and over again. And it's kind of like starting a propeller on an old-time airplane where you have to pull it. And so you keep pulling on that propeller and pulling on that propeller, and eventually, like a lawnmower that you're pulling on the engine, eventually it catches and it takes off.
Well, I remember reading a book, probably 7 or 8 years ago, and I read a lot of books, and so unfortunately at this particular moment I'm not remembering the author's name of this book, but it was based on kind of that flywheel principle, but his terminology was tipping point. So you reach a point, you're striving, you're working, and then all of a sudden you reach a tipping point and things just start to happen.
Right.
And I think about that in terms of just our faithfulness in prayer, because I think so often, especially if as moms, if we're dealing with wayward children, prodigal children, where we just pray and we pray and we pray and we don't necessarily see God moving. We don't see him changing our child's life. We don't see our child returning back to the principles on which they were raised and having that relationship with the Lord, and the importance of not giving up in prayer,
right,
of having that intentionality, of having that determination. And there may be someone that's listening to us today that you need to hear that. You need to hear that, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying with expectancy. Keep praying knowing that God, in the fullness of his time, is going to answer that prayer and is going to reward your faithfulness in prayer. And I just spoke with a lady yesterday after church who has had a wayward daughter, and she has prayed for that daughter for years and years and years and years. And probably about a year and a half ago, I guess, this girl got arrested, and then she broke her probation, and she ended up at a women's facility here in town, and she has been at that facility for almost a full year. It's a full year this week, and just, we were talking about the transformation that has taken place in that girl's life over the course of the year that she has been in that facility. And you know, I'm sure at the onset, when that girl was arrested, broke her probation, and then was put in the facility, that was a very hard time for her mom and dad, watching her have to go through that. But God, true to his word, as Romans 8:1, he working all things together for good, true to his word, that's not Romans 8:1, is it? There's no condemnation. What is the verse, Jeff?
Romans 8:28.
I was so close. I was in the right chapter. Anywho, God used all of those things for his good and for his glory. And we ran into the girl a couple of weekends ago, and her entire countenance has changed so dramatically. And so I was talking to her mom about that yesterday, and it just brought back to me the importance of faithfulness in prayer, believing that God is going to answer. And I think about that in the story with Elijah. How many of us would have kept going back those 7 times?
Right?
Because that takes determination, tenacity, intentionality. It takes all of those things.
Yeah, and you believe God.
Right.
He's going to send rain, because Elijah said, I did all this according to your word. And so God's word never comes back void. You know, it will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. And so we just trust him. I was thinking, you know, with the difficulties and staying in the game, so to speak, staying in prayer, staying in trusting the Lord, even though you're not seeing anything. Think about Joseph. And it says about Joseph in the book of Psalms that God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. This is Psalm 105. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. the word of the Lord tested him. And so when you're not seeing anything happen and you're in the difficulties of life, where are you, God? The word of the Lord is testing you. And Joseph had 13 years. In those 13 years, he spent some of that time as a slave in Potiphar's house and some of that time, as a prisoner in the king's prison because Potiphar's wife lied about him. He didn't rape her. He didn't try to rape her. He was running away from her. She was coming after him. But through all of that, the Lord was with him. The Lord was testing him, and he passed the test with flying colors.
Well, I was thinking about even the story of Noah, where he didn't even know what rain was. I mean, he had never seen rain before,
right. And
he's being ridiculed for building this ark, and he did that for 100 years.
Amazing.
And he persevered, and with intentionality, he continued to do the next thing that the Lord told him to do, and he was very purposeful in what he did, and what an encouragement that is, that, you know, hey, it took 100 years, but exactly what God told him was going to take place, that's exactly what happened. Because God is always, always, always true to his word.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. I'll get it out in a minute, Debbie.
Yeah, that's our last name, Shreve.
Yes. And we'd love to hear from you. We're up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we'd love to hear from you about how God is at work in your life, how God is at work in your church, about maybe something that you've had to patiently wait for in prayer and just keep pressing into the Lord, and how God did show up in his timing at the right time. As you cast your cares upon him, he showed his care for you. Hey, it's exciting to hear testimonies of God's faithfulness. So call in and let's talk. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And before we go to the phone lines, I want to just take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. You know, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the baby's heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without your help. So Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. And if you'd like to get involved with Preborn, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. We just had the president of Preborn on the program last week, and he was talking about all the great work that the Lord has done through them as they save the lives of babies and as they witness for the Lord Jesus and lead lots of these moms in crisis to faith in Christ. So preborn.com to find out more. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we're talking about God at work. God at work in your life, in your family, in your marriage, and in your church, because the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So we'd love to hear from you, and we have Greg on the line from Tennessee. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to share a move of the Holy Spirit yesterday in my church in Jackson, Tennessee, Soul Quest Church, and Pastor Ronnie Coleman preached on faith. And he always stresses baptism as your first step of faith after you receive Christ and the Holy Spirit, you know, takes over your life. And we had baptism on the fifth Sunday of every month. We have baptism, and we had 18 people scheduled to baptize. The first lady was in her 80s or 90s. She had been saved 10 years and had put it off, and got baptized. He baptized the 18th person, and before he stopped, he said, anybody else want to obey? You want to follow what we, you know, the word of God just taught us and what we just saw in the word of God? 10 more people. What lady in front of us was grabbing her cell phone out of her pocket and everything out of her pocket, handed her husband, going up to get baptized. 10 people just obeyed God and obeyed the move of the Holy Spirit. It was such a blessed thing.
Amen. Amen. How many people go to church there, Greg?
Oh, we probably average anywhere from 600 to 800. We still don't have property. God willing, pray for us. We're trying to break ground on a new property. We have 25 acres, but It's a big thing to build a 1,000-1,200-seat auditorium.
Oh, yeah. Especially in today's building economy, things are so expensive. We've been looking at building a new gym, and they were telling us at least $310 a square foot, and it just seems
right. Well, the preacher tells us, he says he doesn't have the money, we do, and he says you have to obey God. Well, he says you have to obey God and admit that it really is His money, and just bring it and give it, and God will build it.
Right. Amen. Well, thanks for sharing that, Greg. And that is definitely exciting, and it's awesome to see glory how the Lord God is working. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to the program, and thank you for calling in. Okay, I have to share this. This is just kind of, I found this so humorous. So I was looking on a news source today, and there is a associate professor of the Feminist Institute of Social Transformation at Carleton University in Canada.
Doesn't that whole title just say to you, like Charlie Brown, blah, 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 blah,
blah? That's just crazy. But here's the thing. So it's gender studies professor claims combating obesity is fat phobic. And he blasts agenda against fatness. And although everybody knows, every medical person will tell you, hey, obesity is killing lots of people. He says you're fat phobic. And what is hilarious to me is the man's name is Fatty, F-A-D-Y. It probably goes by Fatty because he doesn't want to be known as Fatty, teaching about fat phobic. Fatty Shenouda. And I did see his picture, and he looked a little overweight to me, so this is probably a personal thing. But anyway, he draws on feminist new materialism to examine the intersections between fat studies, colonialism, racism, and transphobia. And I was just thinking, you're sending your kid to school to learn that garbage,
right?
It's amazing. So professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It's right. Romans chapter 1. If you want to know any passage of scripture that describes our society today, read Romans 1, 18 through 32. It's exactly where we live as a society. God's given us over to sexual immorality, homosexual immorality, and to a reprobate mind. And people who claim to be wise they're just fools, they're morons. This guy, I don't know him, but he's barking up a tree that's just moronic in fat phobia. That's just crazy. So anyway, that's just an aside. Back to the phones. We have That was free. Michael on the line from Oklahoma. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And I was just wanting to ask, how do you know when it's kind of time for someone, whether it be medically or otherwise, to be maybe removed from a musical team or, you know, the praise and worship team in a church?
Yeah. Okay, tell me a little bit more. So you guys are going through a situation where somebody is maybe...
Yeah, they've been very dedicated for years in just... you know, being forgetful of what we're doing, and how do you know when it's time to call that?
That's a tough one for sure.
Well, you want to be respectful of the person and the service that they've given over the years, but if mentally they're not in a position, if they're being forgetful, or physically they can't just do, or they run out of gas real fast or whatever. I would think that you would have to bring that person in with a couple other folks that know them and love them, and just build them up, but let them know that, you know, we just sense that it's probably time for you to do more behind the scenes stuff than maybe upfront stuff. And we talk about that, Michael, at our church, and our worship pastor, Quinn Stanfill, he's quick to say, I realize that a worship leader has a shelf life, because... a pastor is, and this is in the ministry, a pastor can go a lot longer than maybe somebody leading in worship as far as age goes and vivaciousness and...
Well, and even stylistically, because musical styles and worship styles change over the course of time. And so someone whose vocal giftings were just spot on 3 decades ago to the type of worship music that people sang, their vocal style in today's worship environment probably isn't going to be able to translate as well.
Yeah, if you have maybe you're more operatic.
That's good.
You're Pavarotti type of guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great for opera, but church is not opera, and so that doesn't necessarily translate very well.
Right, and I even stylistically, you know, 30 decades ago, you sang the music that was on the page. Today, in our worship music, there is music on the page, but there's fluidity in that music where you're not sticking exactly to the structure of what's written down in terms of when you're singing it and when you're using it in form of worship. And so I think to honor the person that, you know, that you're speaking of, and to be appreciative of their giftings and their skill sets, but to know that worship is more about a heart attitude, and that means that you're not always going to be in front. You know, you can be used of God in a choir loft, not on the stage with a microphone. And so that there's still a usefulness there, but that usefulness may have changed forms. So at one time, your usefulness may have been being on a stage with a microphone. Mm-hmm. Well, now your usefulness is that I'm in the choir supporting that. I'm mentoring maybe some people that are younger that are in the choir. I'm continuing to be faithful in my giftings, and I'm continuing to serve even though my role might have changed.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I think that all of us that are in full-time vocational ministry, we have to be cognizant of the fact that you know, just because we're on a worship team or we're preaching, and that doesn't mean that lasts for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And God may, you know, you have to know when it's time to hand over the reins to somebody else or let somebody else do that. And that can be hard. And some guys, you know, especially in the pastorate, some guys, it's like you've stayed too long, you know. And so we have to be, it's on us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to be sensitive to input from other people that might be sensing that, okay, you're not connecting like you once did. And so you have to be cognizant of that. And I realize, you know, I'm not a fossil by any means, but I'm not 40 years old either. And so I want to be able to still connect with people.
Well, and I think too, to just have close people that you feel safe with, that you can say, hey, will you pray with me about this person that God would lay on their heart, that it's time for them to maybe take on a different role. I think that's a good thing to pray as well.
Yeah. How long has this been going on, Michael?
Probably about a year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has anybody talked to this person yet, or has it just kind of been some hints?
No, everybody wants to let him go as long as they can.
Yeah.
In appreciation and respect, you know.
So. Yeah. It can end up really hurting the ministry, though, for the congregation when somebody is, you know, in the music ministry especially, you have to have some basic, you know, you have to be able to carry a tune in a bucket. You can't be totally tone deaf and do that.
Well, just like remember the words and
right,
yeah,
and
all of those things.
You know, and as a musician, you have to be able to play the notes. If you just can't, you know, you're butchering every song. It's just like, okay, this isn't the right place
for
you.
It becomes a distraction.
Right. Well, I would. I know it's not fun, but I would set up a time to kind of broach that subject with some like-minded folks and say, hey, we need to
just start praying.
Yeah, we need to pray through that. And I think if you wait until, okay, the Lord can reveal this to this person, the Lord may be calling you and some others to do that. And so you have to be just sensitive to that. But I know that that's hard. And so we will pray for you. And May God give you wisdom, James 1:5, and to be able to do that in a way that's honoring. We've had some situations over the years. You know, I've been here 20 years, so some people that we've had to say, okay, I think it's time for you to retire from this position, whether it's teaching or whether it's singing or whether it's something in the music ministry. And if the person's heart is right and they want the Lord's will, they receive that, even though it hurts, they receive it well. And they may leave the church just because they say, hey, it's going to be hard for me to worship here. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. But they don't leave mad or bitter or anything like that. And I know that's a fine line. And a lot of it depends on the maturity level of the other person. And if something mentally is taking place, if there's some dementia taking place, that can make it a lot harder. So we pray for you. Thank you for calling in with that. That's a great question, Michael. Well, the number to call, we still have a couple of minutes, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a testimony or a question, we would love to hear it. Hey, God is at work in His church. And if you're not seeing the Lord working in your life, in your church, you need to really pray and say, Lord, am I not on blessing ground? I want to be on blessing ground because God wants to work. And here's the thing, the fruit of the Spirit is not just for the super saints. It's for anyone who will be led by the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians 5, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so we can have that regardless of our circumstances. We can experience that inside because the Holy Spirit lives inside every believer.
Well, I think back to the Old Testament prophets and how so many of them stayed discouraged, right? Because they just had a message of, I guess, for lack of a better word, doom and gloom, right, for the people, and they kept drawing people to repentance, and no repentance took place. You know, they still sought after idols. They still did all the things contrary to what God's word had told them to do, but how they persevered because the mantle that God had placed upon their life didn't leave them. And so they stayed true to that calling, even though it was difficult and it was discouraging at times, but they persevered through it.
Well, the probably one of the greatest prophets ever was Elijah. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets with Jesus. Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 19 that the Lord would take his life.
Right.
It is enough, O Lord. I'm not better than my fathers. Take my life. He got so discouraged. So, hey, if you're discouraged in ministry, just know that God is the God of hope. And the scripture says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13. Well, Jose, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but call in tomorrow. I'd love to talk to you. Thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and He will use you as His witness.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.